So before we even get into the word, you mind if I share it with you? Amen. So some of you may have already looked at it, so you're going to get a second dose of it. It starts with the scripture from Philippians 4, 6 and 7 that says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It says, "Dear Father, you are the Prince of Peace and the Great I Am. You are my helper and my Redeemer. And I need your help today. I am weak and frail and tired. Give me the strength to get through just this day and the desire to work as if I am doing it all for your glory. Help those who are carrying especially heavy burdens right now. They need your power and peace that goes beyond our understanding. I am so grateful that I can come to you and present my request at any time. Thank you for giving me peace and rest, even in the hard times. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, I pray. Amen. Amen. I pray that over you because you might be like me, tired. It's all right to be tired. Amen. I'm praying for people who can be tired and yet keep pressing. Amen. I'm just going to be honest and real with you. What happens is we get tired, and here's what happened. The first thing we do, you know what we stop? Here's the first thing we do. We're tired, and I'll say on Sunday morning, I'm just going to rest today. Okay. You're going to rest from the one who gives you strength? He's got a benefit package like you can't believe, and it doesn't cost you anything. I don't know about you, but at the place where I'm employed, the benefits that I receive, I have to pay a portion of it. So each time I get paid, there's a portion of my paycheck whereby it is applied to my benefits. And then I can say, I've got benefits. I've got health coverage. I've got vacation. I've got benefits. But God says, no, I've already taken care of all of it for you. All you need to do is come and surrender yourself to me and you'll get my benefits. And so if you want the benefit of being renewed and being replenished, what you do is you never back off from him. What you do is you show up and you connect with him, because in your tiredness and in your fatigue, God has a way of giving you strength from him and reminds you that his grace is sufficient to keep you and to carry you and to sustain you. And when he renews you, that's better than any sitting around on your bottom doing nothing self can ever get. Amen. And so I'm praying for people that are hard workers. And even when they're tired, they refuse to allow the fatigue of their bodies to keep them from worshiping God with his people. Let us not forsake assembling ourselves together. Amen. I'm praying that when we come together, there's going to be something supernatural and dynamic that happens. Now, I don't want to be praying by myself, so I'm telling you what I'm praying so you can be praying with me. Amen. Even when I'm tired, I'm still praying. God, when I show up, I'm going to meet with you in a special and unique way that I can't do it by myself. And God, if you show up in the midst of your people, I'm going to get more than I expected. I'm always going to come out with the better deal. Amen. And so I want you to be praying that with me. Praying that, God, even when we're tired, we refuse to allow fatigue to keep us from going and being an encouragement and being encouraged. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We have been talking this month about living a life of worship. And it is the idea of moving us from just the simple idea of worship, and I know that many of us are not there, but worship is reserved just for Sunday or Wednesday. There are some folk who have that mindset. But you and I need to know that no, we are called to worship in spirit and in truth, which means that it is not by location alone. Amen? That it is not the location that determines whether or not you are in worship. It is whether or not you are worshiping the living God in spirit and in truth. So God is not limited by time nor place. He's not limited by geography. He is the God who is, the God who is everywhere. Amen? And therefore, he calls upon us to say that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, to worship him with every breath that we have in our bodies, to worship him with every second that we are given, with every minute that we are given, with every hour that we are given. He says that you are to worship me and to adore me. We said that worship was the idea that you acknowledge God for who he is. It is when you, in your heart, in your mind, declare that there is no God like the God that we serve. That he is in a class by himself. He is the creator and the sustainer of life. There's nobody else like him. He is the only one who can take nothing and create something. Everybody else has got to have some raw material from somewhere that he created in order to put something together. But no, he's the one who can speak. And what he has spoken shows up. That's called being a God in a class all by yourself. He is the living God. He's not the God who has been fashioned or created by hands. And so worship is to adore him and acknowledge him for who he is, a living God. Acknowledge him. You adore him. You agree with what he has said about himself, that he is the eternal God, having no beginning, therefore having no end. And everything in the middle is summed up by him. He is the God who is not bound by time. That's what eternal means. He's not bound by time. That's why his yesterday is the same as his today and will be the same as his tomorrow. See, he's not bound by time. He doesn't change. He is the changeless God. He's the same. Amen. And so you acknowledge, you adore him, you agree with him about what he has said, you accept it, and you demonstrate it in your life. That's what worship starts to look like. And then we talked about how that worship then is manifest through different experiences and exercises. Amen? We just spent time again worshiping through music. Earlier this morning, we were worshiping him in prayer. We were calling upon the name of God to move in situations and circumstances and bring his power to bear upon those things so that his name would be glorified, would be magnified through his people throughout the world. We were lifting up our voices because he has given us the right to boldly approach the throne of grace. And when we accept that right, that privilege, that benefit, he says, come now and worship me in prayer. Worship. We bow down before him, acknowledge who he is, that he is the giver and we are the receivers. We come to him in prayer, realizing that the thing that we are asking for, it is only he who is able to do something with it and do something about it. And we're declaring that his power is so mighty that nothing can stop him. And so we worship in prayer. We worship in singing. We talk about worship in our giving. Amen. We worship in the giving of our time. Amen. So that's why some of us are tired. We've been worshiping in the giving of our time. Amen. Yeah, you can worship the Lord. You can give of yourself and it will physically tire you out. But it's called worship. Why? Because you are acknowledging that every breath in your body comes from him and you are using it to glorify him because you are doing what he called you to do. And when you're doing what he called you to do, you are worshiping. So we've been talking about this idea of living a lifestyle of worship. You give with your time. You give your resources. Amen. Sometimes you got to reach in your pocket and give to another as an act of worship in obedience to what the Spirit of the living God has said to you. Amen. That's worship. And so when we put all of that together, we thought about this one acronym that I still believe kind of helps sum it up, right? It is the idea that worship, give it to me so I don't forget it. Worship, y'all know I know it. Worship is willful obedience in response to the Spirit's headship, his influence, and his power. Willful obedience. That worship of God is willful obedience in response to the Spirit's headship, influence, and power. And remember, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so when you see that expression spirit, it is capturing God in his essence, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but he is yet a spirit. Yes, the Son came to live his life. He became a human being, but don't forget, he is a spirit. Amen. And so when we talk about the Spirit's influence, we're dealing with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's the Spirit that lives on the inside of you that gives you recognition of the Father's voice. It is the Son who is the living word, who is the written word that impacts your life. That's the Spirit's influence. And when he reveals himself to you, you are yielding in response to what it is he wants you to do. Sometimes it's written, and sometimes he just prompts and stamps it on your heart. And he says, move. Your job is to worship him by moving when he says move. Amen. And so today we want to add to our thinking as we talk about living a life of worship. That living a life of worship is walking by faith. Amen. It's walking by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. You're familiar with that verse. The NIV, it says, for we live by faith, not by sight. In the King James Version, you remember, it is that one that we're most familiar with. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's one of those. I like them both. Amen. We walk by faith. We live by faith. The idea is that there is movement. You are on a journey. That day by day, the journey that you are on, the movement that you are taking is a journey of faith, and you're living and walking by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 is a reminder that you and I must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That particular verse is found in Hebrews chapter 11, which happens to be what we traditionally call the hall of faith or the chapter of faith, because it begins with verse number 1 talking about, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Hence, we walk by faith, we live by faith, not by sight. And then the writer of Hebrews continues to list some very specific people and things that these were folks who demonstrated living, walking by faith, and reminding you and me that we have been called to walk by faith. And brothers and sisters, in order for you to live a life of worship, you've got to walk by faith. faith. You've got to trust that the God that exists, that you're believing in, that he is real and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to believe that the promises that he has revealed to you, that he will bring them to pass, even though you've not yet received them. You've got to believe that there are some stuff in the invisible world that's waiting to be manifest in the visible world. And in order for you to receive it, you've got to maintain your confidence and not turn back, but to keep hoping, keep trusting, and keep believing that he's going to deliver. And while you're doing that, that's called walking by faith. You're living a life of worship and surrender to the living God, trusting in him. Amen. Hopefully you've been keeping track in your reading with Christ in the school of prayer. Amen. You've been keeping track. For those who started on the 8th, you should be at about lesson 14. Lesson 14 is today's lesson, so maybe you're waiting until this evening to do the lesson. Maybe. Yeah, some do it in the morning, some do it at noon, some do it in the evening. Maybe yours is in the evening. I try and do mine in the morning. Because what I've discovered about me is that by the time evening rolls around, I'll be giving him the leftovers and not the best. Amen. And so I try in the morning to make it my biz. Let me go here while it's fresh, I can get it. But you should be, if you're keeping track, you should be at about lesson number 14. I think it was lesson number, I want to say 12 or 13. I think it was 13. Let me make sure. It's lesson 12. Lesson 12 that uses Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, to talk about faith. Now, the book With Christ in the School of Prayer is about prayer, but it's also about worship, because prayer is an act of worship. And in this, he is expanding, he's helping us, I think, to expand our thinking about prayer and giving us some lessons from the master teacher who is Jesus himself. Lessons that Jesus himself taught about prayer. He's illuminating and giving us insight. Lesson 12 talks about have faith in God. And then, as you remember, he's got kind of an alternative title. So you can call it Have Faith in God or The Secret of Believing Prayer. Either way you get to that, he is talking about faith. In Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, Mark chapter 11 deals with Jesus Christ one day going over to a fig tree looking for something to eat. He was hungry and he saw the fig tree. The fig tree looked like it should have fruit on it. But when Jesus got to the fig tree, it didn't have any fruit on the fig tree. And when Jesus saw the fig tree without fruit upon the fig tree, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He looked at the fig tree and said, "Never again will you bear fruit." The disciples heard Jesus when he proclaimed to the fig tree. Now, that should be good for you and me, because we think when we talk to inanimate objects or things that something is wrong. But if Jesus can talk to a fig tree, that gives you and me permission to talk to some things too, right? Amen. 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 He talked to the fig tree. The fig tree responded. Because when he and his disciples were going out, the next day they saw that the fig tree that he had spoke to had actually withered and it died. It was like, it was an immediate response. Jesus said, you're not going to bear fruit? And it dried up? What? Let's think about this for a minute. Who is the giver of life? Amen. Amen. When he speaks, his word has power. That's why he says to you and me that we need to make sure that we are abiding in Christ. Right? He is the vine. We are the branches. That he is the one who gives life, who gives fruit out of that. He says that you and I are to stay attached to him, because if we want to live, if we want to be fruitful, if we want to be productive, we've got to be connected with the right source of life. So he says, abide in me. In this case, he speaks to this tree, which has been living in the soil that he gave. The soil that he provides nutrients in. The tree has been using his oxygen. Remember, it is him who causes everything to work together, so that the tree has been utilizing his oxygen and not producing what it's supposed to be producing. I'm going to stop preaching. This is scaring me right here. I'm just saying. I'm using his oxygen and ain't producing what. That's kind of sobering, ain't it? And he cares more about you and me than he does about a tree. Because he says he died for you and me, and he sent his spirit to live in us, and he didn't put his spirit in you, and you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. No wonder he got some of us in the woodshed. Because what he has determined is, I'm not going to let you go until you straighten up and fly right. Yeah. Remember, he's the balanced God. He's just not the God of love. God's love looks different than yours and mine. God says, I discipline those who belong to me. Why? Because I love you and I refuse to let the enemy have you. And when you're not doing right, I got to go ahead and spank you a little bit. Because I know some of us believe that God don't spank us. But here's the good thing about God. When he spanks us, he does it in love, and he does it for our own good, and he knows just how much to give us. He doesn't spank us to hurt us or to put us in such a situation that we are all wounded for life. No. He's gentle, but he does spank. Amen. He spanked, and in his spanking and his discipline, it is intended to get you to the place so that you are fulfilling your purpose, so that you are worshiping him and fulfilling his purpose for your life. Ooh, let's come back to the text. Let's come back. And so Jesus has spoken to the tree. The disciples look, and they said, the fig tree you curse has withered. So in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus has a response for them. He says, have faith in God. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So the study that lesson is talking about, you and I need to make sure that our faith then is placed in God and not in anything else. That you don't get so caught up in what he has even promised, but your faith is placed in him. I've shared with you, many of you, you know one of my favorite definitions of faith. It is in reference to what the Bible says about Abraham, that he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had said he would do, that he was not shaken, he was unwavered by what was going on in his life, that he simply trusted God. You know the story of Abraham. God promised Abraham that he would be a father of many nations when Abraham had no children, when Abraham was old. And yet, because God is able to do the impossible, he showed up and fulfilled his promise to Abraham. And Abraham, in the waiting, in his waiting, continued to serve God and to worship God and to live his life in such a way that he was consistently walking with God. And it is described as a life of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, if it was credited to Abraham as righteousness, when you and I believe God, it becomes credited to you and me as righteousness. What that means is that your credit score with God goes up. Amen. You want to find out how to increase your credit score with God? Just believe what he said and believe in him. It may start off low. But if you just keep day in and day out putting your hope, your trust, and your confidence with him, your credit score gonna keep going up. What does that mean? You know what happens when you got a good credit score, right? Yeah, you can go into a place where you want to make a purchase. And they look at your ability to pay your bills. And they look at what they determine what should be your credit score. And the higher your credit score, the better what? Your finance rate is. The higher your credit score, the more ability you have to negotiate with them, right? Because you like, you know, if you don't want to deal with me, I can go somewhere else. Right? And so in a world economy, that credit score has been equated with buying power. Amen. In the kingdom of God, your credit score is tied to faith. For everything in the kingdom of God must be appropriated and acquired by faith. Amen. And when you're operating in faith and you've got a credit score at the top, it says that God hears you. Talk to me. That's right. He hears you and he answers. And he says that, listen, all you need to do is keep trusting me. This is what I love about God. He said that if you just do what I am telling you to do, I'll take care of the score. Right? If you just keep doing your part, I'll be the one that's taking care of and managing the score. And you know what? You ain't got to worry about it going to three different bureaus that are going to take and look and try to put your stuff together and say, this is the average, or I'll take the highest one or the middle one. No, no. He says, I am an accurate judge of where your faith is. And if you just simply keep doing what I've told you to do, believing what I've given you, then I'll make sure that you come out at the top. And at the appointed time, I give you that thing that you have asked for. Amen. He says, walk by faith, not by sight. Your worship to God is when you are actually walking and living by faith. It is believing that God's promise to you will be fulfilled in your life. What has God said to you? God has said that your sins have been forgiven. Walking by faith says that I'm not going to allow my sins to have me waddled down in guilt. Amen. I may have tripped. I may have stumbled. I may have fallen. I may have been tricked by the enemy and did what I did not want to do. I may have sinned and disappointed God, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, by my faith in his finished work, my sins are forgiven. You do know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that your sins were forgiven. It wasn't just the sins that you had committed way back then. It was your past, your present, and your future sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it does not matter if, oh, right here, I trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sin, but down the road a little bit, I stumbled and I fell. You need to know it's covered. Therefore, there is no condemnation for the one who has placed their hope in Jesus Christ. And so when I worship him and I walk by faith, I'm believing that what God said was true. What I look like arguing with God about my sin? God trying to tell you, oh, look, by the way, I moved as far as the east is from the west. And you keep going down the road and bringing it back to it. God, I was on my way to meet with you and I found this. What? God said, go put that back where I left it. In the sea of forgetfulness. You know, you love that when he says, so in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. God, I went diving, searching for treasure, but I didn't find treasure. I found this. Why didn't you leave it? It was there for a reason. No, you and I, when we walk by faith, we believe that God really has cleansed us from our sins. And when your sins, because I know there's what we call transgressions, there's that stuff that comes back that kind of haunts you. You kind of know that it comes and it messes you. When it comes back, it messes with you. You walk by faith. You declare out loud, yes, I'm forgiven. And if you like me, this is what happens when my memory tries to bring back to my mind stuff that I've been forgiven for. After I process it for a second, I get excited. God saved me from that. And then when I see other people doing stuff that I did, suffering consequences that I didn't suffer, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow. That's called God's grace. And so walking by faith says that, God, I receive your forgiveness. Oh, and I praise you and I give you thanks for your forgiveness and your restoration. Oh, God, I thank you for your mercy that I didn't receive what I deserve to receive. But covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and receiving your grace, that thing no longer has hold of me. That's walking by faith, taking God's word and applying it to your life and to your situation and to waddle in it no more. God says that he has called you to be healed, to be made whole, to be conformed to the image of his son. Walking in faith says, I believe that I look like Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I walk up out of the house, I look like Jesus. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I ain't got to walk out of the house to look like Jesus, do. Right? Right? Because when I'm walking in the house, I need to look like him too. Right? Ain't nothing worse than you coming up out of the house trying to look like Jesus. And the folks in your house, who is this? Dr. Jekyll. Miss Hyde. No. In the house, I can look like him too, right? Because God has determined that I will be conformed to the image of Christ. That means that in my life, in my behavior, in my actions, in my ways of thinking, I'm going to look like, think like, act like Jesus. That in my responses, I'm going to respond like Jesus would respond. You remember those bracelets that were going around at one time, the t-shirt, that movement, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That it was the idea that before you acted upon whatever it was that was going on inside of you, that you would filter your behavior through that question. Wait a minute, what would Jesus do in this situation? A very appropriate movement, because you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be conformed to what he, to his image. We're supposed to look like and act like him. Our life, as it is governed by the Spirit of God, would have us to walk in such a way that we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So what we do needs to look like him. So it matters not what the setting, where I am, I'm going to act like and look like Jesus. It matters not who is looking, right? Because when I'm by myself and nobody else can see me, I'm going to look like and act like Jesus. Why? Because it's not an act. I'm not pretending. It's who I am. It is who he called me to be. He said that I, you, me, us, we are the temples of the Spirit of the living God. So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. So it doesn't matter where we are still his temple. So it doesn't matter who sees us, who acknowledges us. It's who he has called us to be. Walking in faith says that I have to tell the enemy, no. Your influence is not welcome here and is not allowed here because that's not me anymore. Amen? Faith says then I act that out and I live that out. Allow God to work in me his will and his purposes so that he is glorified. That's walking by faith. Walking by faith says that I want more and more of God. And the word of God declares that if you seek him, you will find him. Do you believe that? That if you seek him, you will find him? Well, if you believe that, walking by faith says I'm going to keep seeking him. Oh, sometimes we feel like we haven't found him. He says, keep seeking because his word is true. Seek me, he said, and you will find me. Walking by faith says, I don't let go. I keep believing and I'm going to get there. Amen. See, those are examples of you and me walking by faith, believing that God has declared what he has declared for our lives will indeed come to pass in his time. Worship means that, God, I trust you. I trust you enough, God, not to abandon what you're doing. I trust you enough, God, not to go and look for another Savior. I trust you enough, God, to believe that, God, your timing is perfect timing. That even though I may want it now, God, I trust that you know what you're doing in my life. And there are things that, God, I can't see that you can see. And yet, because I trust you enough, I'm going to worship you and I'm just going to stay locked into you and wait until the appointed time. That's what worship looks like. It says that in walking by faith, that even when I have not received what God desires to give me, that I am going to yet keep trusting him. In the lesson that you and I studied, lesson number 12, if you haven't gotten there, you'll get there. And I want to encourage you to take some time to highlight and capture these ideas. Here's what Mr. Murray talked about faith. He said, faith is simply surrendering. So we've talked about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. He says, faith is simply surrendering. It's to yield myself to the impression the tidings I hear make on me. That's in other words, it is to yield myself to what God is impressing and revealing about who he is and about who I am. By faith, I yield myself to the living God. His glory and love fill my heart and have mastery over my life. By faith, I'm letting God have his way with me. Amen. And when I let God have his way with me, there are some things happening in me that I cannot see. There are some things that are happening that I can't adequately describe. But by faith, God is working it out and bringing it to pass. Amen? It is like a tea bag set in a cup of water. You know what happens to a tea bag when you set it in a boiling hot cup of water, right? All of a sudden, that water has changed, isn't it? That water is changed to match the flavor, the color of the bag, the tea bag that has been placed inside of it. And according to real tea drinkers, they say, don't do the thing that, you know, how some people like to, they like to dip. And he said, no, no, no. He said, put that tea bag in there and just let it steep. Don't be pulling it in and out, pulling it in and out. Now let it sit in there. Let all of what's in that bag move into the water. Before you know it, the water that was plain is now changed to a tasteful, sometimes healthy flavor and beverage that you can enjoy. Amen. What happens when you and I sit in the presence of God? Amen. It happens in reverse. Yeah, we don't affect God. God affects us. All of Him encompassed around us starts to press in to us, and we start to look like, act like, smell like Him. That's why the Word of God says that you are the aroma of Jesus Christ. You didn't know that, did you? Amen. It's in there. I didn't make it up. We are the aroma of Jesus Christ. That's why folk who don't trust God don't like you. Because you smell like Jesus. And Jesus reminds every person that unless you come through me, you can't make it to the Father. And when you go around smelling like Him, smelling like you believe that Jesus is the only way, folk be like, who? What? Yeah. They do. When you be boldly declaring God's word because you're in relationship with Him, and they, you know, they kind of like them tea bags that kind of, I'm in today, I'm out tomorrow. They kind of like that. But you one of them, you like, I'm in there. I'm in there. And they like, where your faith come from? Came from hanging in the presence of the living God. Believing that what God has declared will come to pass in my life. Believing that I really am the aroma of Christ. That's why you smell good to those who belong to Him. When you come and you're declaring praise, you smell good to those who belong to Him. When you are speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to them, and you're encouraging them, you smell good to those who belong to Christ. And they said, that's the word that I needed. Why? Because you are smelling like you are the aroma of Jesus Christ. You're what the word declares that you are. Living by faith says that I am going to trust Him enough to believe that I am who He says I am. I trust Him enough to believe that I am the redeemed. I am going to trust Him enough to believe that if He says I can speak to this mountain and this mountain will be moved, I'm going to trust Him enough to believe that the mountain will be moved. And if the mountain ain't moving, something wrong. And it ain't with God's word. It ain't with God's power. Amen? It has to be with me in my faith to believe that at the appointed time, it will move. And therefore, I won't stop commanding the mountain to move until it gets up and get out of the way. Amen. That's walking by faith. You and I can get to the place of where here is what thus said the Lord. To believe it enough to apply it in our lives and in our circumstances and our situations. And then to watch with an eye that allows God to move and to change things. brothers and sisters, I shared with you last time, I believe that God in 2023 wants to do some amazing things in your life. I believe that God wants your life to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. That means that there are some things that are going on in your life that are hindering you from being a blessing because you all caught up with the stuff that's going on. But God is saying, I don't want you to be caught up with the stuff that's going on. I want you to be caught up with me. And so when we talk about living a life of worship, I'm talking about living a life of where you're just simply caught up with God. You stop worrying about the stuff that's holding you back. Listen, when God is ready, he's going to take that stuff. He's going to cut it off. It's going to have to bow to you. But your job is to live a life of worship. And the reason that he is impressing this upon you and me is because he's saying that you've been called to be hope. You've been called to be light. You've been called to be a blessing to this world, to those around you. And in order for you to do that, you've got to live a life of worship, not a life of worry, a life of worship. That you have got to take the stuff that's causing you to worry and make it bow down to God. You got to remind it that every knee must bow down to God. Every situation must bow down to God. You must make it worship because you're living a life of worship. And when you live a life of worship, God says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. Amen. Anybody in here want to be a blessing to somebody else? Come on, come on, come on. Now, y'all don't want to be a blessing to nobody? Really? Y'all don't want to be a... Now, therein lies the problem. Let me sit down so we can talk about this. You're supposed to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? That's why we want debt to fall off. Amen? Because all that money you got coming in right now that you're using to manage your debt, to maintenance debt. Think about this. If you didn't have that problem, couldn't you be a blessing to somebody else? Amen? And so we want it to fall off, right? And here is where I am. I'm saying, God, I don't want to do this in my own strength and power. I don't want to just use the methods of Dave Ramsey and anybody else to say that I'm getting out of debt. God, I want you to move in a supernatural way to get me out of debt. God, I want you to erase some stuff. Why? Because, God, I want to be a blessing and I'm having to put so much money over here to pay for stuff that I probably shouldn't have got anyway. Help me. Don't even remember, sometimes don't even remember what it's for. Exactly. And I'm like, God, I just want to be a blessing. And so God, in order for me to be a blessing, I need you to free up some stuff. And now I got to remember that. Wait a minute, I told God I wanted to be a blessing. And so he freeing up stuff. And if I'm not careful, I'll take what he's freed up and go use it to be encumbered some more. But if I'm living a life of worship, walking by faith and not by sight, what he is going to do is he's going to help me from being encumbered or encumbering his resources anymore. He's going to help me to trust him and to use it in accordance to his will. Because I want to be a blessing. I want to take the life that he has given me, the salvation that he has provided me to walk in and to lean into others and sow into their lives so that they too then can understand this loving God that has so loved me that he sees them and that he is working with them and walking with them and that he is using an earthen vessel like me and like you to meet their needs because he recognizes where they are and he says that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm saying, God, I want a part of that. I want to be a part of that program. God, I want to participate with that. God, yes, sir. I want to look at him and say, yeah. Thank you, God, for using me. Don't want praise from people. I want to say, God, thank you for using me to do your bidding in this world. And in order for you and me to do that effectively, day in and day out, month in and month out, all year long, we've got to live a life of worship. Fully surrendered to him. Acknowledging who he is, adoring who he is, accepting his purposes for our lives, and walking in his word with confidence in him and him alone.